This is the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. Thanks to Spark, get even more data with their prepaid rollover packs.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
As Bernie runs off to do her other radio show, into Narnia, where is she? Where is she? Producer Caitlin, where is she? Have you got a hold of her?
I think she's just on her way and now her alarm didn't go off.
Oh, wait, don't believe that for a moment.
Her poor boyfriend, I was like calling him on Facebook and stuff.
Fair enough. She's asleep.
Yeah.
This is great. It's going to give us weeks of leverage.
A moment's inconvenience for hours of...
We blame technology.
What time was it 8 hours ago? Because she tagged me in a real cute puffy meme.
10 o'clock.
So why
was that's too late.
That's too late.
Too late for a 4 a.m. start.
I'll have a talk to her.
Burning the candles at both ends.
This could be a written warning. We might have to give her a written warning.
Well, I don't think that's your call to make, Fletch.
Well, I've got mine on file, so I can just change the name and the date and the reason, and I can just print her out my one.
Don't you get to hand on your written warnings? So you don't have one now on your file.
Pass the parcel of written warnings. Fantastic idea.
That would be a great
idea.
System, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't it be the same with illnesses, like that AUT measles student? If they gave their measles to somebody else, they don't get the measles.
Oh, that's sad.
Late tag, can't tag your master.
All right, your father-in-law is staying with you at the moment.
He is, yes. And we've got the ongoing father-in-law diaries. He says some very interesting things. And given that I'm having more or less 8 hours a day with him at the moment.
And yesterday was Yum Cha Day.
Oh, yesterday was Yum Cha Day. Yesterday was Yum Cha Day. Okay. And, he said some things at Yum Cha.
All right, you lot, listen up. It's story time.
Story time, three news headlines for three interesting, weird, unusual, quirky news stories. Vaughn and Megan, you must pick one story, one only.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As Vaughn, adding the honey to my coffee. Sweetening with honey now, guys.
It's still sugar. You know that your body doesn't go, oh, that's honey, it's better than sugar.
No, it's easier to digest because it's already been digested. It's better for you than sugar.
And no, it's
honey's the same. Honey's got to be better for you. It's got to be better for you than refined sugar.
It's still got nutrition in it, whereas sugar doesn't have... nutrition.
What are you doing? What are you on your anti-honey bayer bandwagon for over there? What you doing over there?
I'm just saying your body's still like, oh, it's sugar.
Yeah, but it's a different, it's good. He's
no, it's sugar.
Natural.
He's a skinny binny. He can have his sugar.
Hey. Man-made sugar, God-made honey, okay? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Tell me who you trust. No one, that's who. Don't trust anybody.
Headline
just
one.
Enjoy your little honey there. Have a little hun-hun. Bit of hun-hun in your cough-cough.
Okay.
Bit of hun-hun in your cough-cough. I'm going to say that every time now.
Yeah. Can I have a coffee, please? And can you sweeten my cough-cough with a little hun-hun?
Oh, God. Okay, headline one. Real kick in the head for patient. Headline two, investigation finds students in law and ethics class cheated. And headline three, funeral home whoopsie. Those are the headlines.
Oh, I don't want to know about the funeral home whoopsie. Kick in the head.
Yeah.
A real kick in the head.
Because, I mean, they're law students. They're always the cheaters. Cheeky little. Because they know the law.
So they skirt around
it. Yeah, it's kind of like if you can get through law school without being caught cheating, you're probably the best at it.
Probably.
You're the best lawyer.
Yeah.
You're going to get a job. Congratulations, you've graduated and when no one caught you cheating, but obviously you did. You're a lawyer now.
All right, we go to India now.
India
for the story.
Wow, okay.
We don't often go to
India.
The subcontinent.
For story time. Well, today we are.
All right.
And we're going to a medical college where a man went to hospital with a severe leg injury. Now, his leg, they needed to amputate his leg, sadly.
Ouch.
But this is unfortunately one of many cases of medical negligence in this hospital because as the man lay there, they used his cut-off leg to prop up his head as a pillow.
Oh, no!
I'm showing you the photo that is blurred out, but he is lying on, like, it looks like a massage table, doesn't it? Like, it's a real huckery, not even
like
a bed.
Yeah, like World War II.
Like
wait,
a stretcher. Definitely Goody. His leg?
Yeah, because, look, they've cut it off from just under the knee.
How's it not bleeding more?
Well, they've just operated on it, haven't they? So they've put the bandage on.
Get the lighter and
And the last bit of his
leg. Pour some gunpowder in the hole and light it on fire.
And the last part of the leg with the foot is his pillow.
Everybody needs a foot for a pillow.
Exactly.
This reminds me, I never talked about that Instagram page I'm following with the medical things. It's not for everybody, and certainly not like if you're just waking up, this probably isn't the first thing you want to do today.
Okay.
But I'm tag it for a visit later in the day.
When you're not queasy.
Or just about to eat. Yeah.
Will I be able to handle it?
No.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, there's, I barely can. medical talks is what it is. Medical talks. Got 2 million followers.
Yep. One word, medical talks.
Medical talks.
Okay.
Yeah, talks like we are right now, talking. Yep. Talks.
Thanks
but sometimes sort of like, what are you saying? Like talks, T-O-R-K-S?
Yeah.
Talks.
Talks.
This is also, I'm teaching indie, like reading and stuff. Well, yeah. I mean, a teacher teaches, but when she comes home, we read.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, I'll break the word down. And there's words where it works great. But then words like talks doesn't work because she's like, ta-licks. Ta-licks. I know. You found medical talks.
Oh, I'm not going on it, if that's the reaction.
Oh, my God, that finger.
Oh, yeah, that guy's finger is nasty.
What's the account about?
It's horrendous photos, but then they're telling you what's happening in the photos, and it's kind of to give you an appreciation of these sorts of things that doctors, surgeons, specialists have to deal with every single day that we non-medical professional might find ghastly.
Because I can't even, when I'm watching a movie or a TV show and they do like an injection, I can't even watch.
I feel like you can't follow that feed. You have to just sample
go
it.
Go to it.
Because otherwise
when you
it'll pop
it.
Up in your news feed and you're like, oh no.
The really bad ones have an eye with a cross through it that you've got to choose to unblur.
Oh, right.
So you're not just like, for example, that one's...
Because you'd be like, in my...
Oh, that one's an old lady who fell in the snow. That's frostbite. Her feet have to be amputated.
Oh, God, that's her feet.
But like that was blurred, so that's not just going to pop up in between the hot people you follow on Instagram.
I know, I was going to say, I'd be going through my feet, it'd be like husky, cute kitten, hot model.
Amputated gangrenous foot. Have you seen... I am so excited about this exhibition coming to... I believe it's coming to Auckland with all the bodies...
I've heard about this. I don't know.
They're encased in like perspex and stuff, and it like shows you like there's people who donated their bodies to science, like bodies cut in half, and you can see where all the organs are and stuff.
I wouldn't want to donate my body to science, and then everyone could laugh at me when I'm dead.
At your balls.
Look at her chubby butt. I said her, not you. I meant me.
No, you just said Fletcher's butt so chubby it was confused for a female.
That's what you said. Unbelievable.
Oh my God, look at the shapely hips on this female. And the scrotum. It's all there. FEM. There's one thing people from Christchurch love to discuss. It's what high school you went to.
It's within the first 5 minutes of meeting someone new from Christchurch. James, the producer, what school did you go to?
Boys, not the school you're about to talk about, thankfully. I went to St. Thomas's. Which is a bit more of like a lower.
I've never heard of St. Thomas. What was he the patron saint of?
Engines? Hot dogs.
Well, it was, in full, it was St. Thomas of Canterbury College.
Kilda. Was that like a private school? Is that Ooh La La private?
No, not really. No, it wasn't.
Do you have to pray to Jesus?
Yes.
There's a bit of Jesus. He was apparently the 12th apostle of Jesus.
Right.
I want to know what is the patron bloody saint of?
A bit smaller and...
It doesn't matter, Vaughn.
It does. They've all got something neat.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Like St.
Luke's... talking about these
St.
Luke's
is the patron saint of annoying shopping.
Shopping.
Yeah. Anyway, so this isn't about St. Thomas. I don't want St. Thomas dragged into this. A wonderful school that I'd never heard of until today, which is surprising because whenever I talk to people from Christchurch, you always, you feel, also when they ask you, I say no school around here.
I just say New Plymouth Boys High School. Like, okay, cool.
And then you feel like you're being backed into a corner and the only way out is to ask them what school they went to.
Yeah.
What school did you go to?
And then they say, and I'm just like, okay, I don't know if that's good or not.
So Christchurch Boys High is the school that's in the news that we want to talk about now.
Heard about this.
A couple of pupils,
which is a plural of pupils.
Yeah.
Pupils?
It's the duo of pupils.
Okay.
Pupils have been suspended. They put a video of a teacher on a pornographic website. Now, the teacher was in no state of undress. The teacher was just teaching. Now, these two pupils videoed the teacher in full state of dress,
teaching
a class, doing a professional job from all accounts, and uploaded it to a porn website.
So an upskirt, it was an upskirt?
No.
It wasn't.
What you're thinking of is the incident last year where a student allegedly took a photo up a female teacher's skirt last year and was dismissed henceforth wearing so ASAP Rocky.
The students are learning from that one, obviously.
Don't go up the skirt. Just
inappropriately use a teacher's image on a website. So I don't know why you would upload a picture of a teacher fully dressed to a porn website.
That's weird.
I mean, you shouldn't upload anybody's image to any website without their permission, you know?
Yeah.
Especially pornographic websites. But they have.
Why would they do that? Like,
they
what
would
is,
have just been like, it's funny, get Mrs. Thomas on the porn
she
site.
She might have been attractive.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Did you just go Mrs. Thomas because of St. Thomas, the patron saint of
probably. Tank I don't know
engines?
Where that came from.
Yeah. I want to know, because my immediate reaction was like, did you have an attractive Mrs. Thomas, or are you just going from a recently heard name? Right, no, fair enough. So now the school's like, well, we're clamping right down on the use of cell phones in classrooms.
Right.
This is the problem. So they might be, you know, handing in the phones or absolutely no phone use.
Yep.
I thought that kind of went without saying at schools, though, that there was no phones in the classroom.
Yeah, I don't know. So some schools have, like, Wi-Fi and stuff.
Yeah, but that's... true. And
so you can
iPads.
Get on that, you could be under your desk. You'd get away with it if you could.
Yeah, get away with using your phone,
you can't stop kids from taking phones to school because they need it for, after school to get home and stuff. But then where are they supposed to put their phones if they're banned in the classroom?
Yeah, because, you put a phone in your pocket, it's just burning its way out, isn't it?
You just want to check for notifications.
And then you get a phantom vibration.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's something, but it's not. But anyway, that's beside the point of the fact that it's what they're doing with the phones that are the problem. With the phones.
Are you tearing up?
No, I just had this weird amount of air try to expel itself. I wouldn't exactly call it a burp, but it was like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
But it felt like it came from the lungs.
Right.
More than it came from the stomach.
Okay.
What is a lung burp called? I mean, that's just breathing, isn't it? That's how you breathe. You breathe into the lungs and you breathe out. It's when air gets trapped in the stomach that the burp happens.
F-E-M. Just before we get to the father-in-law diaries, an hour and a half late for work, she's finally turned up. Congratulations,
morning.
Intern Anya. What time do you call this?
Look, the traffic. Oh, my God.
Tell ya. Did you hear who we got to do the news?
Yeah, she nailed it.
Of course she bloody nailed it. She read TV One News for years, didn't she? Bernadine Oliver Kirby.
Yeah, James has nailed the weather. I've got a neighbour here. I'll take off.
I've got sad news for you because today was the day you were due to elevate yourself from intern to junior associate. Well,
oh,
there goes your junior associate part.
Intern Anya for at least another 6 months.
At least.
All right, the father-in-law diaries return now.
Yeah, my father-in-law is staying with us for 3 weeks. Yep.
How's that going?
Good. What are we now? Day 8?
At least he's not mean.
No, no, he's
just interesting.
He's very funny. He doesn't intend to be, but crikey, every day he makes me laugh. And these are the father-in-law diaries. Day 8, 12:30 p.m. Tuesday. We're at Yum Cha.
Oh, yeah.
We love a Yum Cha. Love a Yum Cha. This is a Chinese dim sum. I don't know how to explain it other than it's like sushi train, but they don't have a train. They just wheel it around in little wagons and you're
trying to explain a Yum Cha to someone the other day who had no idea what it was. I was like, it's like Chinese takeaway, but there's also things chicken feet.
Yeah.
And steam buns and stuff.
It's dangerous though because there's lots of trolleys and you're like, that looks yum.
Do you know
put
what
it on
I found
my table.
Out yesterday?
That looks yum.
What?
The pastry trolley, which is primarily a dessert-based trolley, hidden on there is baked barbecue chicken buns. So like a barbecue pork bun, but that's steamed. This one's baked. Now, appearance-wise, it looks very desserty.
Right.
So I stopped yesterday because it's great taking someone who can speak because my father-in-law's Thai Chinese. Yep. So he can speak. I'm very basic. I'm like, yes, please. And I point at what I want. He chats. So I'm like, can you ask them, what's going on here? What are all these things?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's this? Because I've stopped at the dessert trolley because I love my mango pancakes. And okay. I'm like, what's this? And he asked, and he's like, oh, it's a barbecue chicken bun baked. I was like, well, I've already moved on to the sweets, but next time that's happening.
Yeah, oh, so you didn't even have happening. It.
I can't go back to a savoury.
Once you've gone sweet. Okay.
That's why I got to load myself up on the savouries and move on to the sweets.
Okay.
So 12:30 p.m. just before the trolley incident at Yum Cha, my father-in-law says to me, do you want some tripe? Now, those who don't know, tripe is cow stomach.
Yeah,
cow no. intestine.
Why, I say, why eat tripe when there's pork buns?
Yeah,
exactly. I say, no thanks. He says, have you tried tripe? I say, yep, I have, with you. You've made me try it pretty much every time we come here. It's not for me, but thanks. So shall I get some? I say, no, well, I mean, you can get some, but I'm fine. He's like, I'll get some for all of us. So for the fourth time consecutively that we've been to Yum Cha together, he's guilted me into trying tripe.
Yeah.
Tastes the same still, but no, it's the texture that gets me.
Okay, right.
Because I'll eat offal. I've got no problem with eating offal, but tripe, not for me.
Yeah.
Straight after we finish, he's like,
you're not making Yum Cha sound appealing.
No,
Gordon,
no, no, no. This is the bottom rung of Yum Cha. I'm all about the Yum Cha. And then just as I swallow tripe, he looks at me and he's like, the chicken feet are coming. Shall I get one for everybody? Let's have a pork bun to break up the offal. 1 p.m. after Yum Cha in the car.
Yep.
Sade says, oh, my huge fat stomach. Now, I know what that means. That means she wants me to tell her she doesn't have a huge fat stomach.
Because she doesn't.
She doesn't have a huge fat stomach. She might be getting slightly bloated because we overdo it at Yum Cha. Classic Yum Cha.
Yeah.
She does not have a big fat stomach.
Yeah.
I'm just about to say, don't be silly, you don't have a big fat stomach. To when her father says, well, you know what they say, dear, eat less, work out more. If you don't want a big fat stomach, you've got to work for it.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what'd you say, boy? You're dragging us all down now. So then I have to double in with the, ha, 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 ha. No, you don't have a big fat stomach, don't be silly. Oh, God. 2:30 p.m. He says, do you want a coffee? To which I say, oh, yeah, that'd be great, but I'll make it myself. He doesn't make good coffee.
He doesn't make good coffee, right.
He's like, I'm going to make a tea, and opens the spice drawer. I say, that's not the tea, that's the teas over here. He's like, no, I'm going to make my own, and proceeds to make a tea with a selection of shit from the spice drawer. I'm pretty sure he put dried parsley flakes in it.
What?
Then he drank it. I was like, you don't have to drink that if it's yuck. He's like, no, it's delicious. I do this all the time. I'm like, no, you don't.
What?
He's great.
And finally, 5:30 p.m. yesterday, day 8 or 9 of the father-in-law staying and the father-in-law diary, having dinner. And he says, I haven't eaten as many vegetables as I have in this week for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
I said, you don't usually eat vegetables. He said, this is what I eat. I wake up late.
Yep.
Because I'm retired and I've worked hard, and then I get 10 minutes sermon of how hard he's worked throughout his whole life. I wake up late because I deserve a sleep in, and I have 2 bananas.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. For lunch, instant noodles.
Yeah.
Every day.
Okay.
Every day, instant noodles. For dinner, something from a street vendor. Because he lives in Bangkok, so he just walks down and gets it. I'm like, where's the vegetables? He's like, no need. Once.
Oh, wow.
Once a week. Once a week, I go to a wonderful buffet. I want 400 baht. Loves telling you how much things cost. 400 baht. I eat enough vegetables for the week.
I don't know if that's how it works.
And I say to him, how many plate loads of vegetables? One of bok choy, and then the rest prawns, shrimp.
That's not vegetables.
Seafood. I'm like, seafood's not vegetables. He's like, more or less. All the nutrients that vegetables have can be found in seafood. I'm like, I don't know if that's how it works. But yeah, you just give up and you just go with it.
Yeah.
It's day 9 of the diary of my father-in-law staying.
FEM. A guy and a girl went on a Tinder date. I guess you could almost call this a Tinder nightmare international. So it's what happened after the date, not on the date, which has gone viral. So these two went on a date. They decided, look, there's not much chemistry. She wrote a very nice message. It says, I don't think we have much chemistry, so there won't be another date, but it was lovely meeting you, and I wish you all the best.
Okay.
Now it's the reply.
It's a different world. It's a different world.
Like,
that was quite a nice text.
Yeah.
Like, if I got that, I'd be like, okay, ouch, but, thanks for that.
At least you know where you stand with that person. You're not like, oh, I wonder if we're going to have another date, and then they ghost you
and
you don't
hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, straight up. the reply was, already you're not my type. I think it was not a fun evening and I paid £8.30 for your drink. I thought you would want one of the ordinary drinks. I paid for my drink £1.75. I paid £8.30 for your drink. This is too much. I would
how,
like
how many
you to
pounds?
Pay this
eight.
Back. His
eight.
Was £1.75. Hers was £8.30.
What's he drinking? A Sprite?
Yeah, maybe.
You're paying for £1.75. You're not getting a pint, are you? Oh.
Not getting beer. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe at Witherspoons.
Yeah, boy. I love you know that. You know I love my Witherspoons.
But then he goes on to say, please pay this back. I'm waiting for a refund. £8.30. Is that the third time he's mentioned how much it was? Thank you. And then puts in his account number.
And then so she shares it and she's like, what is this guy on?
That's a $15.80 drink.
Oh, so she got a cocktail and he just got a beer, basically.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
Producer Caitlin. Let's go to producer Caitlin.
Are you kidding me? Is he having a laugh? That's ridiculous.
If my wife does that, I always have a really big sip of her cocktail just to even things out.
You can't take a big sip because you're only really small.
No, that's why I take a big sip.
No, that'll teach
you right. No, $15. You pay $15 for a cocktail.
But no, if you were on a first date and you heard him say, I'll just get a beer or a whatever, and it was your standard drink, would you then go, I'll have a mojito or a Cosmo?
I mean, you've overanalyzed every aspect of any date you've ever been on.
I know, because I'm like, a cocktail will make me seem like really classy and cool. But then, like, I'd probably just prefer a wine. But then a cocktail's got more alcohol and it'll give me, like, more confidence.
But I would be like, that's not fair.
If he's paying, so you know he's paying, would you order the cocktail?
No, I mean, I would have ordered a wine. Just, yeah. But
to make it
if
I had ordered the cocktail and then like at the end of the date, you know that it like you're probably not going to see them again. I'll be like, I'll just pay for it because that's also a good sign to be like, I'm not really into you.
Yeah, right.
If you're like, I'll just pay for it. I'm not going to let you pay for that when I know that there's nothing between us.
But then, nah. Caitlin, you'd be down for him to pay even if you didn't want to see him again.
Well, I mean, we've obviously decided we're going to go out on a date.
I know, but why is it his responsibility
to pay? No, it's not, but we have different views on this because I like to be, I like
wined and dined. Yeah. But that's the trouble when guys are going on so many Tinder dates. You imagine they're going on heaps of Tinder dates and they're expected to pay for every girl's drink at every Tinder date. It's not really fair.
You're right. It's not. But they shouldn't be going on lots of dates. They should find a perfect one.
You don't complain about the ones you don't win.
I do all my Tinder dates just with McDonald's cones. We just do a soft serve. It's way cheaper.
Way cheaper.
And
sometimes you've got that discount card.
Well, sometimes they ask for a flake. I'm like, no.
Ah,
that's on you. That's extravagant.
At your own expense.
But that's the problem, isn't it? That's why you don't go out for dinner dates.
Yeah, I know. That's just awkward.
And it's long and more money.
Mm.
I mean, I would never text and be like, hey, can I have my money back?
That's ridiculous.
That's a little bit sad.
The Top 6 with Vaughn Smith.
Hello, welcome to today's Top 6. Sad report that apparently methamphetamine easier to get in small town New Zealand than marijuana in a lot of places. Mm. Which is pretty bad, given that... you know, it's
it ruins
significantly
lives,
worse. Yeah.
Makes you scabby.
It
and
definitely does.
Keeps you up.
What was that story about that girl gouging out her eyes? Was that meth?
Oh, yeah, in America. Yeah, she was on a...
meth
apparently had a
rage.
Horrendous reaction to methamphetamine and on the church steps gouged her eyes out to appreciate the full beauty of God.
Okay, right.
Don't do drugs.
She's not well.
No.
So today's top six is the top six things that are harder to get in small towns than meth. Now, I'm from a small town.
Yep.
You're technically from a city, right? You
it
Plymouth
is
a city?
A town? City? I don't know. When does a town become a city? I don't know.
With a certain amount of people living there or a cathedral. It used to be the vibe.
Oh, okay.
Nelson's a city, eh?
I don't know.
I think they're both cities.
Okay.
I think they've both grown up. That's very... surely they are. Yeah, New Plymouth's definitely a city. Nelson's got to be. So, okay, I'm the only person from a small town here. Oh, Caitlin's from Fairlie. You're in a small town, eh?
Yep.
Cheer.
Lots of that going around there, yep. Nah, I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Did you think I was talking about cheers or meth?
No, meth.
Oh, meth. In all seriousness, does Fairlie have a meth problem? Because my hometown's got a bit of a meth problem.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
We're too busy, like, looking at the lovely mountains and stuff.
Right. I think that's why we built the cows, to distract people from meth.
Right.
So the top six things that are harder to get in small towns than meth. Number six, a date with someone you didn't go to school with.
Yeah.
Very hard to find someone in your age bracket.
That's still hard in Nelson.
I bet it is.
Because everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
Number five on the list of the top six things harder to get in small towns than meth, public transport. intercity buses and the buses that rural kids catch to school don't count because they don't. But, you know, it's never really occurred to me that my hometown doesn't have any public transport.
Well, there's 10 people that live there, so of course not.
Excuse me, sir. You're going to have a tram that ran down the main street or something like
that. You're not going to have a bus service.
It's quite a long town.
Yeah, but you're not going to have a bus service that goes every 5 minutes peak hour.
No, you're right. But maybe like a tram or some sort of automated light rail.
No.
Come on, light rail.
Does it just go back and forth the main street?
Yeah. Can we have some light rail?
Who's getting on it?
Or a wagon? Can we have a wagon with
a horse? You have a wagon with a horse.
Thank you. Number four on the list of the top six things that are harder to get in small towns than meth, a good long black. like, don't say, what size long black do you want if I ask for a long black? Because there's only one size long black. Anything large is an Americano. Yeah. An Americano.
Yeah, BP Wild Bean.
That's not just a small town problem. That's a BP everywhere problem. We need to have a sit down with the Wild Bean people.
You're so Auckland now, babes.
Thanks, babe. Oh, is that a compliment?
Because
when you live in Auckland, it's a compliment if you hear it from an Aucklander. But if someone says that to you in a small town,
it's not a compliment.
It's just a long black is tiny.
It's like a short black and then a long black. Okay. They only come in one size. Now, if they ask you, what size cup do you want?
That's an Americano.
That's an Americano. Okay,
now, BP Wildbean need to change their policy.
Okay, sport.
Vaughn and I, we love wine.
Hey,
come on,
champ.
Sport. Come on, champ.
Champ.
Come on, chief.
Hey.
But in all seriousness,
it's an Americano.
That's an Americano.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then if I ask for Americano,
okay,
what are you going to give me?
Okay.
Something to think about. Number three on the list of the top six things that are harder to get in small towns than meth, a wood-fired pizza.
Yep. Good call.
You can get a pizza, no problem, but it's oven pizza.
And it's probably a Pam's from New World.
It's probably a Pam's with a bit of extra cheese on top.
Yeah.
A wood-fired pizza. Number two on the list of the top six things harder to get in small towns than meth, a good pair of jeans. Pretty hard to get a good pair of jeans in a small town.
You have to go to the Big Smoke.
You have to go to Hamilton. In Morrinsville, you've got a good... There's a couple of places, but the fit's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And the number one thing that is harder to get in small towns than meth, a place for breakfast that's open on Sunday morning that's not a bakery with yellow pies and mock cream donuts. You're like, should we go out for breakfast? My parents are like, nothing's open. You're like, oh. We go to the bakery and get a
yellow
pie.
Yellow pies.
A cheese and bacon loaf. Crikey, I love a cheese and bacon loaf, though. That is today's top six.
ZM's secret sound with Save My Bacon. Sing it savage.
And we welcome in Soundkeeper Gary, who's brought in an e-bike.
Got here on time, guys.
Did you really e-bike to work today?
Not today. I left it overnight. Not yet. I haven't started.
The big theatre you gave us. I made it.
Gary messaged me last night a picture of this e-bike because obviously yesterday I was quite vocal in my
disdain
for the e-bike. not for certain people. I think for older people they're great because you don't need to do as much cycling. Or if you live in a hilly area, great.
But no, it's better than a car, and you're getting some exercise.
Environmentally friendly.
But exactly. I'd just get a scooter.
Yeah, I'd just get a scooter.
Yeah, but that's
you've got a motorbike, don't you?
You're not Gary. Gary wants an e-bike.
Yeah, I have a motorbike too. I have three things now. Look,
now I appreciate you because you're a collector of toys, much like myself.
Right. Okay, I see what's happening.
It's going to come back to me as soon as you guys ride it and go, this is good. I'm going to get my comeuppance.
I am really looking forward to a ride of it, to be totally honest.
I biked out yesterday. I was biking yesterday and this woman biked past. She had an e-bike, but on the front of it was like a pram.
I've seen those in my... I want one of those.
And she was going so fast and I just burst out laughing. I was thinking, that's going to be how ridiculous
Gary was. Was it like a wheelbarrow on the front of a bike?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, those look legit. Crash?
Well, whatever's in, it's gone.
Your kids take the impact in the front, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Or your pumpkins if you're off to the market.
Oh, my God. All right, enough about stupid e-bikes. We're going to play for $40,000 with Hayley this morning, ZM's Secret Sound. Thanks to Save My Bacon, a brighter way to borrow. Hello, Hayley.
Hi.
Right, now, it's worth $40,000. This is the Secret Sound. What do you think it is?
I think it's so when you go into a takeaway shop, they'll write down your order on a notepad. I think it's the number that they give you at the, they kind of rip it off at the bottom.
Oh, those, and like you get them at the fish and chip shop too. 14, Mr. Chips.
14 blue clubs or something.
That's one the raffle ticket.
Raffle ticket yeah. kind of thing.
Yeah. So you, essentially you think it's perforated
paper.
It's a perforated receipt being pulled off.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Hayley, are you up to date with all the clues?
I haven't seen the 360 one yet.
That's okay. What about the one about a song written by a female?
I've missed that clue too.
That's right. There's paper planes.
All right.
Many, many different songs that involve paper. Well, Hayley, I can say to you that I'm sorry, but it is not the secret sound.
Thank you.
Around the country, inorganic collections happen. This is the time of the year where you'll be alerted via a flyer in your letterbox, traditionally, that it's okay to just chuck all your crap on the side of the road and make it somebody else's problem.
And they'll just come and pick it up. People will go through it.
Oh, people love going through it.
But this is an amazing story. So someone was just chucking out their junk. They were just like, let's just chuck all the rubbish out. And one of the bits that they chucked out was a safe.
Now, apparently the safe's combination had been forgotten or something.
So it was theirs originally, though? Or was it someone else's?
Well, they couldn't get into it. So they're like, right. Well, it's no use to me. What good is a safe?
Mm.
I mean, that sounds philosophical. What good is a safe if you don't know the combo? It's just a very heavy box. So they have it and somebody else comes by and is like, oh, safe.
Yeah.
Like, I would.
Yeah.
Safe time. Get in there.
I need to know what's in there.
Yeah. And the person gets in there and there's $30,000 cash. And it's a classic case of finders, keepers, losers, weepers.
Because they chucked it out.
Old cash that you can't use?
I don't know. I think they can. No, they can use it, I think. Yeah, it's all like...
Are you talking about those beautiful old $1 and $2 notes?
Yeah.
Someone showed me one of those the other day. Purple. I'd forgotten. We had a purple. We had a lovely, crisp, beautiful purple note.
So the people who threw it out now are claiming that it's theirs.
Well, this is the whole argument. It's like, well, whose is it?
Well, you chucked it out. You finders, left it on the side of the road.
That's right. The classic rule of finders, keepers, losers, weepers as well. You shut your mouth.
Exactly.
You keep your mouth shut.
But then, now lawyers are all wading in, with their opinions, and
I wouldn't even get lawyers involved because no one's going to get anything apart from the lawyers at the end of that.
The 30K will go to the lawyers.
Oh, hell yeah.
But if you got rid of it and you put it on that Burmy part, on your front yard, that's not your property anymore. So you've literally chucked it out and away from your property. So someone else should just pick it up.
So this is what I want to ask this morning. Have you ever finders keepers? What have you found?
Are we just talking big things?
Well, anything.
Okay, because one time I stole a MAC lipstick from work. Someone left it here, so I just took it because it was my colour.
That's not finders keepers.
Yeah, you don't say I stole something. You say I finders keepers, losers, weepers.
I gave it a wipe, but what if I've taken it home.
Oh, you gave it a wipe.
What if they had cold sores or something?
I actually feel better after saying that.
You got it off your chest.
Yeah.
But that's just stealing, Megan. That's not finders keepers.
No, excuse me.
No, finders keepers is walking down the street and finding a whole wallet with hundreds of dollars in it.
I walked into the studio and I found a MAC lipstick. And I was like, silly you for leaving it behind.
You poor thing. You must be so scared and alone. Come with me.
Like a baby bird.
I'll give you a new home. Yeah, you take it home. You feed it. You put it in your purse. Make sure it's always safe and happy.
Yeah, I've still got it too. It looks good on me.
Okay, well, I'm hoping we get better stories than that.
Okay. I'm saying...
Good starting point.
Yeah.
Small to big. No story too small.
Sure, no story too small. 0800 dials at M, 9696. What have you finders, keepers, losers, weepers? And like you say, the first rule is shut your mouth.
And especially in organics, there's that classic urban yarn. I don't know if it's actually true. Someone mowing their lawns and they went to empty the catcher and they came back and their mower was gone.
Because somebody was like,
oh, sweet, it's inorganics. I'll just steal anything that's not inside a fence.
What have you finders, keepers, losers, weepers? Duh.
Because there's this massive issue with a safe that was found that had $30,000 cash in it.
And After they threw it out for inorganic.
If you chuck out $30,000 because you don't know you've got $30,000 just lying around in a safe, are you really going to miss it?
Yeah.
Was this in Remuera or some leafy suburb?
I don't know what suburb it was in.
Or was it someone's life savings and they're just losing their mind.
Well, granddad like died, and in his will, he left like a treasure map, and they just not figured out the answers yet. Yeah. And the combo to the safe was in the answers, but they hiffed it anyway. I just looked up official rules to find his keepers.
What, like on Wikipedia?
The premise that when something is unowned or abandoned, whoever finds it can claim it. So because, you would so say this was abandoned.
Yeah.
Because there's also salvage. What's a salvage? What are your salvage rights?
Salvage rights are in international waters.
Right.
I think.
If you find like something floating.
A ship floating.
You can claim it?
Yes.
But what about stuff? Because you remember when all those containers washed up on the beach?
Yeah, but then that was back on, and if it was insured, then it was owned by the insurance company.
Right.
I think.
Okay. Brianna, what did you find as keepers?
I found $50 in like the gutter in the drain.
Okay.
And I stood there for ages trying to figure out like what to do with it.
Yeah.
Because I was my best friend.
Yeah.
And then we just went to McDonald's.
Fine investment.
Brilliant. I got
it. Were you like, has anyone lost any money?
Well, there was like no, it wasn't by a car and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Anywhere?
Well, there were no people around.
You just whisper into the air that you found money. Has anybody lost any money? And if no one answers, it's yours.
Yeah. I saw a guy on Queen Street, so very busy the other day. There was this $5. And he picked it up and he just stood there and he was doing this thing like really looking around for everyone, like looking at everyone. And he was like, you could tell he just wanted it. He was just doing it for a show.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
you do that thing where you look everywhere and you're just like, has anyone noticed
me? What are you looking for? Somebody who looks like they've lost $5? How do they look like?
Exactly. And then it's yours. You just take it. Hey, Brianna, thanks for your call.
Awesome.
Good morning, Brad. What did you find as keepers, losers, weepers?
When I was 16, I found a lotto ticket and thought, why not check it? And won $24.
Oh, yeah.
And you were 15.
16. But 16. Yeah, $24 back then was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
What did you, do you remember what you did with it?
Oh, I think I just wasted it on junk, to be fair. But,
yeah,
lollies. But,
you know, that easy.
$24 worth of junk, that was...
Yeah.
Easy come, easy go.
Exactly, a lot of lollies for a 16-year-old. Jordan, what did you, your wife found this, finders keepers?
Yeah, she was going for a workout and she found an S7 in the grass on her run.
Yep.
And so we took it home, charged it up, and rang the guy who owned it, and he said, oh, you can keep it. I've got me an S8. Well, I was like, yes!
That sounds like he had insurance.
Yeah, he claimed insurance.
He wanted you to go away, so he got his new phone, doesn't it? Sounds like that. Thanks, Jordan.
Some text messages. My wife found a doll in the rubbish bin.
Okay.
I don't know what she was doing in the bin.
She just forages that.
Took her to the doll doctor, because she was like, there's something special about this doll.
Okay.
And they said it's going to cost $250 to fix. She was like, okay. Took
what?
A punt.
There's
took
so
a punt.
Many questions here.
When they fixed it, they offered her $2,500 for the doll. Apparently it was some rare doll.
And the someone doll had just chucked it out.
Someone had just chucked it out.
Do you think it actually cost $250 to fix, or were they just saying it was really high?
Yeah.
We'll take it off your hands.
Oh, yeah, and you reckon the $2,500 was just a dummy offer afterwards to
like
justify the
worth
bill?
Okay.
We found a 55-inch TV on the side of the road saying free as it has no sound and no picture.
Mm.
So we were like, we'll take that.
Oh, this is... Please tell me some baby boomer didn't know how to work the remote.
Took it home, very easy fix. Now, they don't know, they don't say what the fix was, but maybe it was like mute.
Maybe it was muted. And mum and dad didn't have their son to fix the TV for them. Yeah, so they're like, we'll just buy a new one.
Or someone had plugged something into one of those auxiliary sound things that cancels the sound coming through the speakers.
Yeah.
So fixed it. And then our youngest child put a golf club through the screen and insurance replaced it with a brand new telly.
Oh, kia ora. That's good.
That was good.
Oh,
somebody said, I've found finders keepers, losers, weepers, a drone.
But how do you get the handset?
I was just driving a tractor one day and there it was, just sitting in the paddock.
So what, it ran out of batteries and landed?
I don't know, or something like that.
But can you get a new handset for that?
Like, yeah, you can buy one on Trade Me or something. I found a GoPro Hero 4 at the beach.
Oh.
Asked four people if it was theirs. They all said no. I was like, well, I've tried.
It's four, the magic number.
I've given it a go.
Yeah, four. And real, is this yours?
I asked four people.
My mum found a wedding ring, a diamond ring at a campsite, asked about it and, you know, held onto it for a while. Nobody claimed it. It's now her wedding ring.
Oh, nah.
Oh, that's
not
a bit
down
weird,
for that.
Isn't
that's
it?
That's weird, yeah.
That's weird.
You'd at least get the...
You'd at least sell it.
And then use the money to buy another.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
There's a KiwiSex survey out that has asked New Zealanders if they have ever cheated on a partner.
Ooh.
And 1 in 4 Kiwis have said yes. How much is that?
25%. 25%. And then another, I'm guessing another 10 to 15 to 20 to 30, 40, 50%. Thought this was a trap and just lied.
I always wonder that when they're doing surveys and the questions get a bit, you know, ethically shady.
Yeah, yeah.
So
who's still telling the truth? To some, like, unless it's the police and you've got a bright light in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even then you try your luck till they wheel out the polygraph machine.
Exactly.
So I think we can say at least 1 in 4 Kiwis admit cheating on their partner. Or our partner, not necessarily the one you're with.
Right, okay.
They've broken it down into the town that's most likely to cheat and then least likely to cheat.
Oh, no, 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 no. Don't say the town. Don't.
What, because then innocent people in that town.
Exactly. Like already right now, people are like, oh, no, because their partner might be like, are you one of these 1 in 4? Or and now you're about to make a town awkward. We shouldn't do this.
Why? You sound very guilty.
No, no, I'm not guilty. I'm just worried about people who've got nothing to be worried about. This is like when everyone was like, oh, my God, I've ruined that book. He's just not that into you. All these people in very happy relationships all of a sudden had something to worry about.
But if your relationship's strong, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. So the town the town least likely to cheat is Whangarei.
Least likely to cheat?
Yeah.
Most likely to lie about it. Whangarei.
But the town that's most likely to cheat, I reckon you could guess it. Easy.
I don't know if I could. Is it anywhere?
Is it like per capita? Or is it a percentage? Or is it
just
people?
It's a percentage.
Right.
It's a percentage.
Dunedin.
It's students. It's students.
Getting loose. That's for people who cheat, you know, right. Just one off. But 1 in 5 Kiwis have admitted that they will do like a long-lasting relationship, like a mistress or a... What do you call the opposite of a mistress? Mist man.
Like a man.
A mister. A mister.
When you have like a long-term relationship
Male version of mistress. If you put male version, the first thing it says is of mistress.
Okay.
I don't need a bloody breakdown, do I? A lover.
Oh, okay.
Or a boyfriend. They aren't exactly equivalents. Mistress is usually used for the unmarried girlfriend of a married man.
Right.
Whom he is supporting her financially.
Right.
So that is reserved for couples 60 or over. They're the ones who are having the most like long-term side loving. 60 and over. That's our parents.
So do you think that it's because they've been with their partner so long and they've been married so long?
And they don't get loving as much.
Yeah, but they still want the companionship of the original wife.
They've probably
or
got
husband.
A lot of admin tied up. There's a lot of like kids.
A
and
family trust.
Grandkids and yeah.
So they just get a bit on the side.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, it says that 1 in 5 New Zealanders will lie about the number of people they've had sex with. If they think it will benefit.
Well, why'd you look at me?
Yeah, and then their tone.
Look at us like that.
Had that conversation how Andrew refused to tell me.
Yeah. Was it 1 in 5?
Yeah.
That's low too. That's a trap.
And Fletch lies about it.
Or he doesn't lie. He just doesn't say.
Just don't say. That's a different thing.
He just doesn't know.
And then he makes up all this criteria of what constitutes another tick or another notch in the bedpost. He's like, no, that doesn't count because of this, that and the other.
Well, it doesn't. Okay, we're moving on.
The last conversion from Lancaster Park.
And it's a week today. We will be broadcasting the show live from Lancaster Park, formerly AMI Stadium, formerly Jade Stadium.
Home of my team, the Crusaders.
It's about to be demolished. Since the earthquake, it's been unused. A lot of the seats have been stripped away and sold.
Most of the stuff that can be reused or sold has done so, but the rest is about to be pulled down in April.
And it's a demolition site, so it's actually been quite tricky to get in there, but we have managed to get the goalposts put back in to Lancaster Park so that next Wednesday, one of us...
Hopefully...
can get and kick the last ever conversion at Lancaster Park.
Now, you'd think we'd work together as a team so that at least one of us could get the kick.
Well, it's got very competitive. Megan just picked up the ball and tee and did her hip in again.
Oh, God.
She's hobbling.
That ball is so hard to kick. My dad gave me a phone call and he was like, hey, seriously, this is your home. This Crusaders is your team. Yeah. He's like, you need to get that across. Are you doing any practicing? I was like, no, well, not yet.
After the show today, we're going to go down for our first kick. It'll be my first kick since high school. I played rugby at high school and I was rubbish. But I never kicked the ball.
We've got to work out our little techniques as well, because you know how there's been some
little squat.
Yeah. Who was the guy? Was it Johnny Wilkinson that did that? Does thing a little where he put his squat hands wiggle? Yeah, a little bum squiggle, like he's going to do a poo.
So I mean, there's been a bit of banter behind the scenes. Like, you know, I've been ribbing Megan because of her hip. She's not even going to get close.
We will see.
And then Vaughn's chicken legs come into it. Excuse me,
that's why they called Daryl Halligan, one of the greatest kickers this country's ever had. They called him Chook because he had chicken legs. But I can read on the back of this tee that we got. Daryl Halligan was the first person to kick a world record 30 consecutive goal kicks in the NRL competition.
Yeah, but that's not going to help.
It doesn't mean anything for you.
No. Well, he's a representative of chicken legs.
Do they sell at like sports stores, you know, like chicken fillets for your bras and your...
Like calf fillets.
For your socks. Okay. Well, we've got a surprise for you now, Vaughn, just to see how good you were back in the day.
Join on the phone by your very first rugby coach. Good morning, Dez.
Good morning.
Oh, so, Mr. Duncan, we called him.
Mr. Duncan. So, Dez, you taught Vaughn primary school rugby.
Yeah, I did.
And how good was he?
Wasn't too bad, but he wouldn't listen to you.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Did he ever do the conversions? Did he ever kick?
I don't think we did kicking.
I don't think I ever saw him kick a ball.
Nah, it's more of a runner. Didn't want to hurt my foot. Because we're talking young. We're talking primary school age. I don't think we did kicking.
You don't do conversions. Right. No.
So given that you know more about Vaughan's rugby career than the rest of us.
He was there.
Yeah, what do you think his chances are of getting this conversion?
I don't think he's got a chance in the bloody world.
God. Dez, back me because I'm the only Waikato lad, if nothing else.
Oh, God.
Oh, I hope he does do it because it would be one for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. From the intake area. Well, for the Chiefs intake area, sure. It would look good on the CV.
Well, this is great. This is making Megan and myself feel a lot better, Dez. Vaughan's... we knew it was rubbish anyway, though, didn't we, Megan?
100%.
Yeah, because we heard he only got on the hockey team because his mum picked him.
Yeah, he wasn't much bloody good.
But when you go to a straight up.
I went to a school of like 40 kids. There was we struggled to make up a rugby team, so that was how I got on that rugby team.
So what's a tip for us then, Dez?
Oh, I'm trying to get... Well, it was very hard for him to keep focused or anything, but if he keeps focused, then he might do all right.
Okay, focus. That's focus. Your big tip. Dez, Vaughan's primary school rugby coach, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
We're joined in studio by Freddie Highmore, who's touring around to promote the show The Good Doctor, to which he is the good doctor. Dr. Sean Murphy, but we'll just call him Freddie, I think. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We actually just met in the bathroom.
We saw each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, standing next to each other.
You were very nice. You were like, hello.
And I washed my hands.
As he washed his hands.
Good, okay, good.
So I can vouch that Freddie has washed his hands, which is good to know.
As a famous guy, that would be awkward going to your urinal, wouldn't it?
In what way?
Because someone could look to their left and recognize you.
They could look at your penis.
I guess that's always an option. Yeah.
That's a big risk. Famous guy or not, that's always a risk of going at a urinal with other people.
That's the danger in general.
Everyone's more interested in his penis than your penis.
Oh, hey. My penis is right here. It doesn't need that sort of rundown. Thank you very much. Moving on.
Sorry. I was just curious. What did you email?
Well, no, because it was someone at work. Was it a urinal next to? Was it? Which one from One Direction?
Oh, what, I don't know.
How have I not heard this story?
And they were like,
and they were looking.
No,
they
it was
were...
Harry with Harry Styles, and I think they were
shut
like
it.
In this situation where they were like,
you have to look
as a heterosexual male. Do you look?
100%.
Harry Styles is just trying to wee.
For all the women who are never going to be in that situation, you must look.
Poor Harry. But no, I feel like...
Poor Harry, but poor you. You walked into this.
Welcome to New Zealand, isn't it?
It's God, I hope not.
Watch out whenever you're going to the loo.
Yeah.
tread lightly. So this is a wonderful thing about shows that we get here on Lightbox is that we get all these interviews with people. They bring, they bought Harvey Specter to town. Because you've just kind of finished on a pretty big run of Bates Motel as well, right? So was that a drastic change going in from a show like this to the Good Doctor?
Yeah, there was only a 3-day turnaround or something between finishing Bates and then reading the scripts and sitting down to discuss The Good Doctor for the first time. So I guess at the start I couldn't quite believe that it would be possible to kind of finish one thing and 3 days later find something else. So I got lucky.
And you wrote a couple of episodes of Bates Motel. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. I got to write two and direct one. And we've just got a second season now on The Good Doctor, and hopefully I'll be able to do those things then as well.
Do you have to learn a lot of medical lingo and terminology? Is that hard? Because they've got some long words.
There are a lot of long words, and you try and understand what they are. But yes, and with the accent too, it's a lot to wrap one's tongue around. Yeah.
So you, and that added on top of that, is your character in The Good Doctor is Savant. Autistic.
Yes.
What was involved in learning how to portray someone that has that or is
that? That has that condition.
Yeah, but not go too far as to make it, you know, insulting to someone that might.
Sure. I mean, I guess it was separating the autism and the savant syndrome in that one doesn't necessarily imply the other. And then in terms of the autism, I think we were all aware that Sean can't ever possibly represent everyone who's on the spectrum. And so as much as it was about doing the required research, it wasn't forgetting to come up with the, you know, unique Sean idiosyncrasies. And as we've kind of figured out in this first season.
I mean, this is probably your main priority at the moment, but do you have any future projects that you're working on?
For the time being, it's this. Hopefully seeing a little bit more of New Zealand. And then we start up again with season two in June, so not too long to go until I'll be back in Vancouver while we film.
Right. Which do you prefer? Because obviously we've seen you in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Finding Neverland, other movies, but you do TV as well. So which do you prefer? Which medium?
I love the amount of time you get to develop characters with television. I mean, we got 50 episodes of Norman. I mean, I guess if you didn't like the show, then that's probably a bad thing. But for those of us who did or enjoyed it, you get to tell this long character story and a drawn out arc in a way that doesn't feel forced or, rushed.
Rihanna was in a little cameo.
That's right.
Motel. Did you get, were you a part, were you on set while that was happening?
I thought you were going to ask me about the bathroom or something. I was like, no, let's not go there. I could see your face going in that direction. And I was like, no.
That's the next question.
She was wonderful. She brought, and really enthusiastic. I mean, one of the reason that she came on board the show was because there had been an article in which she said, everyone thinks I'm bad girl Riri, but actually I like to go home and watch Bates Motel in bed. And so she was a fan of the show and was happy and we were lucky to have her there.
Are you looking forward to being on there? Where are they now? Clickbait lists of kids that were on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I'm not sure what you mean when they do another remake or something.
Well, I just think you just still see it. It's like, you'll never guess what the original Charlie looks like now. And it's like, no, because he was like 9 in the 70s or 60s or 70s and we haven't seen him since. But I mean,
I think he's a vet, actually.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
You would not recognize him. He's a vet.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
So maybe that's my, I'll go and
that's
do that. I guess I'm a doctor. It's sort of halfway there, right?
Yeah. A human vet.
Yes.
A vet for humans is what you've become.
Well, Freddie, thanks so much for coming in. You can see it on Lightbox, The Good Doctor. Enjoy your time in New Zealand.
Thank you.
ZM's secret sound with Save My Bacon. Sing it, Savage.
Renee, good morning.
Morning.
All right, so ZM's secret sound, this is it. Have a listen.
Yep.
If you can tell us what that is, $40,000 cash is all yours. Thanks to Save My Bacon, a brighter way to borrow.
Cool, okay. I think it's the Kiwi Buzzy Bee. You know, the good old
the toy.
Iconic Kiwi Buzzy Bee. The toy,
That you pull, because it makes a noise, doesn't it?
It does.
I was at a friend's house, and I heard her child pull it along, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, that sounds quite like it. So, yeah.
Did you vocalise that, or was that in your head? Because you don't want to tell your friends what the answer is?
It was in my head.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you didn't blurt that out because you don't want your friend taking the cash.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to struggle what a buzzy bee sounds like. I haven't heard one for, like, forever.
It's kind of clicky, I suppose.
You'd have to be rocking across the kitchen floor towing a buzzy bee to get it to click that fast, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, this kid was, so, yeah.
Right, okay, I'm hearing you.
Soundkeeper Gary.
Renee.
Yo.
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 Stop.
We do have a buzzy bee. I got one for Christmas this year.
Nice.
It does fit all the clues.
It does.
I've got good news, and I've got bad news.
Okay.
I'll start with the bad news. I'm sorry, but that is not the secret sound, Renee.
Oh, good.
But the good news is I've got a voucher for you to take a free test ride on my brand new e-bike.
Oh, kid, nobody wants your e-bike, Gary. It's stupid.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
I want to talk about a new term called domino divorce. Now, if this has ever happened to you or your friends where one person is broken up, it doesn't even have to be a divorce, a long-term relationship breakup.
Yep.
And then a few others followed suit within your friend group, within people you know, if this has happened to you.
So you're saying that people do this because they see their friends break up and they're like, well, here's my out. We can do it together.
Kind of. So this was a study that was done over 3 decades. They looked at 3 decades of data and they've broken down that people involved in this were 75% more likely to get divorced if a friend was also divorced.
Oh. Now, if a mate of mine was like, I'm breaking up with Sue. Yeah. I've purposely picked a name that nobody, none of my friends go out with a Sue.
Okay.
Married a Sue.
Yeah.
I'm breaking up with Sue. Boys, 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 boys. Let's get back out there. I'd be like, absolutely not.
No, it's not even that though. It's when they break up and you see that Sue was married to who? What's your mate's name?
Murray.
Why are you using
I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Using old mate's name.
I can't use names of people that I know.
Okay.
Because then they'll be in trouble.
Yeah, right, okay.
You're saying you're breaking up with me.
Murray might not be directly encouraging you, but you see Murray out having fun and a good time, and you're like,
Murray's idea of a good time's drastically different to mine.
But you might see that he's got a new lease on life.
And also, for women, it makes them look inward to their relationship, and they're like, well,
why am I with Murray?
No, is our relationship okay? They're struggling, and they looked like they were okay. So they look inward and start assessing everything going on in their lives.
Is it because you always see these people in relationships and you just assume
everything's
peachy, but you never see the arguments, you never see, mm-mm. You know, it's like Instagram, you only ever see the good things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so when they do break up, you're like, well, maybe we're not perfect either. Why are we together?
And also when women see another woman break up in their group, they can see that it's doable and that they're coping and that everyone is there to support them. And
is this just an old person thing or a young person thing? Like who's?
Well, it's been done over 30 years. So from then to now.
Okay.
And I was trying to think about it when I got divorced.
Mm.
I was like, no one else around me got divorced, but my brother did. We were very in close succession when we had our breakups and our marriages.
Did he ever say, I saw you do that and thought, well, I can get out of this one too?
Not directly, no.
Right.
But I did help him post with, you know, like the legalities and sorting out everything. So maybe it is a thing. I would love to hear from people who have been involved in the domino divorce situation.
Well, the domino breakup.
Mm.
Because not everybody's been married, but you might have been in long-term.
Even long-term relationships. If you see someone else break up, it's because it's scary. You'd be like, well, I'm going to be on my own. Like, am I going to be able to cope financially? Is it going to be weird?
I didn't think this would be a thing. But, I mean, you're saying that they've looked at it over 30 years.
75% more likely to get divorced if a friend got divorced too.
God, if any of Sade's friends gets divorced, I'm cutting them out. I'm like, no, you're not allowed to talk to Sue anymore.
She's going to tell you how good it is
bad
out there.
Egg. Don't listen to Sue. She's talking crazy.
All right.
I'd be very interested to know.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Did you break up with somebody because you saw somebody in a long-term relationship break up as well?
Yeah.
The domino breakup effect.
A study that's been done over 30 years has said people are more likely, 75% more likely to get divorced if a friend got divorced too. So that goes for long-term relationships as well. People break up because their friends break up, apparently.
Have you done this?
Yeah.
It turns out a lot of people have.
Just a quick text message that said, I broke up with my partner of 15 years and then a friend broke up with her husband soon after. But it was because she had a thing for my ex and she got with my ex and she just needed me out of the picture before she was encouraged enough to move in there.
Cheeky. Emma, how are you?
Hi.
Now, you have participated in the domino breakup effect.
Were you the first domino, Emma, or were you a domino a little bit down the line?
I was the second domino.
The second domino.
Okay. So what happened?
So I come from a very religious family, and I had children out of wedlock, so I got married pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then I was talking with my auntie for a few months, and she was like, you know, she doesn't want to be in it, but the family pressures and all that. And then I kind of supported her, so she left her husband, and then 3 days later, I left mine.
Wow. So you did it because she was the first domino to fall. You were like, I can do this.
Well, the only reason I was kind of really staying was one for the kids and two to keep the family happy.
Right.
Because it's like not a good look on the family if their 23-year-old's got two kids out of marriage.
But
who cares?
Who cares?
That's your a life, weird girlfriend. Yeah, you
don't worry about them.
No.
Dumb old closet, unhappy people trying to be all happy and stuff. Right.
Thanks, Emma.
Don't worry about them. You be you, girl.
Go to Nick. Nick, you broke up with your girlfriend.
Yeah, so we were in a long-term relationship. Wasn't ages, but it was sort of 3 or so years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My partner's best friend and her boyfriend broke up. He moved up to the North Island, and I sort of saw how much more fun he was having, and that he looked like he was having a pretty good time.
Right.
And obviously we were struggling a little bit, like our relationship was sort of on the rocks. So I broke things off, and I haven't really regretted it all.
That's something I hadn't really considered. It is that you see your friend, and it might not be like, boys, 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 but your friend breaks up, and they're like, oh, and you're like, oh, okay. It's happened so gradually, I haven't noticed that I wasn't as happy as I once was, and you should be happier with someone than you are without them.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he's a lot happier than he was. Him and his missus were on and off for a while.
Right, and you're happier now too?
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
Easy.
There is a stat in the story that's specifically for guys. It says 1 in 4 guys admit to being influenced by their friends. So if their friends break up, then they're like,
that's you, Nick. Thanks for your call, mate. Roberta, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you've witnessed the domino effect with how many friends?
I think there was about 5 of us all last year.
Wow.
So the first one broke up and then that was it. It was on.
Yeah. So they were like together for like maybe 4 years, had a child together. My first friend, they broke up.
Yeah.
And then, and then it just domino effect. And we all literally, all the girls just mounted together, supported each other, helped each other through, gave us each other advice, had girls nights. It was honestly like, it was a great things happened all at once.
Was there like one friend that was like, nah, it's okay, guys? And you're like, go on, break up with them.
I don't think we kind of pushed it. It sort of just like happened. But
Wow, that's interesting. All right, thanks for your call.
Because I thought it would be guys, but we're hearing from lots of girls who are influenced as well. My boyfriend's friends all had girlfriends, long-term, 5 or 6 years. Then one of them broke it off, and then the other three followed suit, so they were all single again. And you could really tell my boyfriend, like, they were like, come on, get amongst.
Yeah.
But didn't. Stayed with me. Now they're all in relationships again. The same time, they all got back into relationships too. Boys.
Man, if they all start breaking up again, you'd be like, you are not hanging out with them.
Yeah, they're
not going out tonight.
They're going to get you. So many messages of people who have done this.
So this domino effect is an actual thing.
100%. Well, 75%.
It's because people don't have the balls to do it by themselves.
You just see a bit of encouragement.
Pack mentality, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Somebody said, when you say 75% more likely, you have to take into account the actual percentage of people breaking up from a long-term relationship as well. So if long-term relationships get to a certain point and 10% is their breakup, then it's 17.5%. This person's really into their maths and percentages. And then they send in like 3 more things accusing you of having misleading statistics. I feel like they're going to get broken up with for being
That's how.
No, you're only breaking up with me because of that thing you heard on the radio. No, it's everything about percentages with you. Today's fact of the day is about the Amorphobius ferox, or the black lace weaver. It's a type of spider.
Okay.
Yeah. Today's fact of the day about the black lace spider, the black lace weaver, sorry, spider, is that after it's given birth and it's got its web all sorted for its babies, it drums on its web. And that is the sign to its children that they can come and eat it alive. It's like, I've done my thing.
Now
your mum. I'm your mum. Dinner's ready. Guess what's for dinner? It's me. And they come and eat her. So this is the vibe. She does the nest. She does the web.
She does all the hard work.
Yep. She lays the eggs of the initial batch of little spiderettes.
Where's the father?
What is the dad doing?
Where is the father?
I don't know.
Did he tap and get?
At the pub.
He tapped and
get. He's at the tavern. Yeah. The tavern.
He's like, don't know what time she's doing it, but I don't want to go home half eaten. Grizzly bloody scene. So she lays the eggs, guards them.
Yeah.
And then when they start to hatch, she goes and lays a second lot of eggs. Kind of in,
like a backup.
Toward the middle of the nest, I guess as a backup. And then she goes into the middle and taps on the web, does a little drumming thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, yum. I don't know how they know.
They just know.
Primal. And they, on the way, will stop and eat the second lot of eggs
that she laid. Oh, my God.
Right.
Cannibals.
Yeah, so the vibe is that if something happens to them after she leaves them, after they've just hatched, and she goes and lays that second lot of eggs, then the second lot of eggs will then hatch and one day they can eat her.
Right, okay.
Yeah. There's not many species that do this. It's called matrophagy. It's a condition where the organisms feed on their own mothers, mostly spiders.
Right.
Mostly spiders that do it.
Grim, very grim, Vaughn.
Yeah.
Can you just be like, nah, I don't want to have kids. They're going to eat me.
Yeah, I just want to go travelling.
Yeah.
Just want to go around.
Be a travelling spider.
Be one of those spiders that makes a parachute.
Yeah.
Uses the wind to harness it, a kiteboarding spider.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to die yet. We're going to be in the Olympics one day.
This sport is definitely going to be at the Olympics
one day.
Goddamn
Barbara Kendall hogging all of the attention for being New Zealand's highest profile windsurfer. Well, I'm a kiteboard. I'm a kiteboarding spider. Get me in there. They're not native to New Zealand, but they do live here.
Yuck.
They're pretty
yuck. So
nasty
that happens in New Zealand?
Yep, happens right here.
Not on my watch. That's disgusting.
I want to Google what they look like, but
she's out there. She's tapping on the web, and you're like, well, she's going to die, but I'm going to black flag the whole situation in here.
It's for the best. It really is.
Because then if I let, she'll be dead, but then there's going to be a thousand strong up and comers. So. Do you, when you are killing a.
Oh, spider, drown them.
Yeah, like they're covered in white foam. They're like. You should have stomped me.
Even a fly on the window. There's more like white stuff on the window than on the fly.
It looks like you're getting ready for that Christmas by spraying some fake snow.
Yeah. And I'm gassing myself and poisoning the cat. But I'm like, that fly is dead.
You're going to die before I am, spider. So today's fact of the day is the black lace weaver spider lays her eggs and then sends a little message down the web saying, come and get it, dinner's ready. And she's dinner.
The last conversion from Lancaster Park.
And it's a week today. We will attempt to make the last conversion at Lancaster Park. It'll be one of us, won't it? I hope.
Dare I say there's been no higher profile kick in New Zealand since 2011.
It's as big a kick as you'll ever get.
Here's his kick. And he's nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, won us the World Cup, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It got a TV movie made about it called The Kick, which was a dramatic behind-the-scenes story of an all-black, insert name here in just a moment, and the penalty kick that saved the 2011 World Cup, according to TVNZ On Demand. Still a great watch, by the way.
Still, oh, it's great.
Yeah, if you like Shortland Street actors playing All Blacks, then you're going to love this.
Yeah.
It's right up your alley.
But we're needing tips, though, really, aren't we? We're useless.
And where else would you go for a tip than the man that nailed that extremely high-pressure kick and had the movie?
Yep.
Stephen Donald, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Oh, good. Oh,
look, a little bit nervous, to be honest, Stephen, because we're pretty useless at kicking.
Yeah, so was I, but I got through, so don't worry about it.
Now, before we continue, do you want to say, is it Mr. Donald or Beaver or Sir Beaver or Mr. Beaver?
Oh, Beaver's fine.
Sir Beaver. I think it should be Sir Beaver. So, do you have some favourite memories of Lancaster Park, Stephen?
Well, we beat them a few times down there, so beating Canberra in the Crusaders is always good, and to do it down there is always good, but it's a great old stadium. It's just a shame, I guess, everything happened to it, but beating them down there is pretty good.
He's a brave man who's obviously not in Canterbury as he says those words.
Yeah.
Obviously. Down there, you're like...
to go and do it.
Yeah. Down there, you're like, it was a reluctant win. Please don't lynch me. We didn't... Don't put the pitchforks down. We're fine. We're friends.
So, Stephen, on Wednesday, they're putting the goalposts back up for us, and we're going to attempt the last conversion. And the three of us, Vaughan and I played rugby like way back in school, but we were never the goal kickers. Megan, you played netball. we're really, you'd say, below amateur, Stephen.
Yeah, look, as I highlighted earlier, anyone can do it.
What's the best tip?
Yeah.
Watch the ball. Okay.
Now, I know it sounds easy, but at least if you watch the ball, it'll go in the air.
Okay.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
Do you kick it?
If you're watching it and it's not going to the goal, will it automatically make it go over the goal?
Yeah, look, there's a few things we need to get right before you start going through the post, but I think getting it off the tee is a good start.
Okay.
Right, because do you kick it with the side of your foot or the front?
Kick it on your side, or else on a cold, chilly morning in Christchurch, you'll break your toes, I'd imagine.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
Stephen, yes? Sir Beaver, how do you decide which foot you're going to kick with? Because I've never even kicked a ball.
that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
What hand am I? Right-handed.
Yeah. Well, try right foot first.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I love how you make it sound so simple. It's like, it's goal kicking for dummies with Mr. Beaver.
But there's a lot of pressure on us to get a conversion, and I think if anyone knows something about pressure, it's you.
What was going through your mind in the World Cup final with that kick? Were you like, watch the ball, Stephen?
I was like, watch the ball follow through.
Yeah.
That was what's going through my mind, yeah.
One day TVNZ will make a made-for-TV movie about this.
And I'll be on ZM giving tips on how to kick through.
One day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Seven years later.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, when, like in golf, they say when you swing, you go 1-2 on the back and then 3 on the follow through. Is there something like that your leg?
Is it
1-2, kick? Look,
I feel we could really be overcomplicating it here.
Okay.
I think we just got to strip it back to watch the ball and swing our leg through. I don't want to overcomplicate it.
But I see lots of players who do like a squat and a wiggle and a look to the side and a smile and a... Like, how do I know what my ism is?
Yeah, don't start smiling. I know who does the smiling. You don't want to be copying him. I'll tell you that.
He's trademarked that, hasn't he? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Don't go following him. But no... Whatever feels natural. So if you want to start squatting down because it feels the right thing to do, do it.
Okay. Well, I've got a question. How far back from the ball do you go? That's a good question, eh?
That's a very good question. Yep. And everyone's different. So just get back to a comfortable spot. Just wherever you feel comfortable. It's all about you, to be fair.
Because I remember Grant Fox used to go like back 5 and across 2, like the horse piece in the chess game.
Yeah.
So I don't... Do you go back a certain amount, then across a couple? What's your vibe?
I was 5-3.
Okay.
I'm going to do 5-3.
You're gonna do 5
I might
three.
Go 5-2.
Just to be different.
I've got littler steps.
I might go 6-6. So I'm right back, way out there, good running. I don't know. I don't know.
Stephen, thank you so much for these tips. We'd love to say invaluable. You may have your work cut out for you. We're rubbish, but yeah. We're going to give it our best shot. And look at the ball. Follow through.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Look, I don't think I've helped you at all, but, I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Beaver. Have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Blackout Movement. This is why I'm fat. This is why I'm fat. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm
fat. Now, you know I love a This Is Why I'm Fat when it's not a sweet, when it's a savoury.
Oh, okay.
Yes. As much as I love my sweets, I'm a savoury man at heart.
This Is Why I'm Fat is a segment where we look at a new food that might have either arrived in New Zealand or be on the outside. Maybe it's in a foreign country and we hope it'll come here.
So, he says, drags the S because he turned his microphone off and forgot about it. These are in New Zealand. I think these might be a trip to the Asian supermarket.
Oh, okay, because really? You know I love Asian supermarket.
Marts, yep. Your supermarkets that specialise in Asian cuisine.
Okay.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, today's This Is Why I'm Fat is Indomie. Goreng.
Me goreng.
You know these noodles. How are you having trouble
and
saying this?
Megaring noodles.
Not noodles.
No, not noodles. This is where it's great.
Right.
But potato these are the chips.
Ones. Shut.
I know. Shut everything down. Shut it all down.
That's the noodle.
Oh, yeah. If you're having noodles, you have that.
Indomie noodles. You have noodles. You have an Indomie noodle.
Yeah.
So the Megaring, probably the pinnacle.
Yep.
Of the Indomie noodle family,
yeah,
Have got chips out. Now, they're called chitatos.
Yeah.
Because chip, potato, I assume.
Yeah.
Chitatos.
You've seen an image online.
I've seen an image online. I'm doing more and more research. I found out that towards the end of last year, there was a review segment on New Zealand website, The Spinoff.
Yeah.
Where they did a taste test of it.
So
somebody
they must
else
be here.
They found them. Yes, they found them at a supermarket that specializes in Asian cuisine.
Right. Is it potato? It's not like a veggie crisp or anything.
No. It's a potato chip. Supermarket in Mount Albert apparently at one stage was stocking the potato.
Well, I've got one down the road. A supermarket that's Asian specialty. I'll have a look on the way home from the gym. I know that sounds weird.
No, but then you've earned my meagering chitatos.
But that's okay. So that's just something to have on the radar.
Totally on the radar. Do I do that thing where I tell you how many calories are in them?
Nah. I thought we decided on This Is Why I'm Fat. We don't do that anymore because we don't want to be negative. We just want to live in ignorant bliss.
I think ignorant bliss could lead to type 2 diabetes in this case. I feel like it's
right.
Okay, well, when I eat them, I'll share with like...
How much would you say gram-wise one potato chip would be generally?
I don't know.
3 grams?
Sure.
They're small, right? They're very light.
Sure.
So you get, in a 55-gram pack, you're getting at least 12-ish. Okay, so let's say 3 grams.
Yep.
33 calories per chip.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
Why did you tell us that?
I don't know why I've said that.
Why'd you do that? Don't stop it.
I don't know.
It.
It's like I'm telling you that the world's a great place and then I'm showing you all the reasons it's not.
Oh, my God.
Still
you built
though.
Me up and you brought me down.
Still buttercup.
That's another reason why.
What a minute. Knee jerk, I have to say it.
This is why I'm fat. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm
fat.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
For more, check out FVMZM on Facebook.